I want this morning to turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. We've just sung that hymn, speaking of the precious words that Jesus said. And here we have some of those precious words. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, precious words that Jesus said. As we come to these glorious words this evening, I want us, first of all, to understand that so often the words of the Lord can be misused and spoilt and marred. And there are some who will proclaim the message, the Christian message, the message of the gospel, as though it was simply a matter of whatever your troubles are, just bring them to Jesus. That's what Jesus is there for, to take away your troubles and your trials, give you an easy life, make things easy and smooth. And we realize, don't we, the falsity of that. The Lord never promises a life of ease to his people. We find, don't we, quite the contrary, how the Lord speaks about how we are to take up the cross and follow him. There are trials, peculiar trials to the believer, but all the normal trials of this life attend a believer. And there is no promise of that bed of roses, that life of ease. And of course, it's the testimony. Many a believer can testify, can't they, of the struggles that they've had. Now, that's not to say that there are joys without bound in coming to the Lord. There are burdens that are lifted. There are tremendous blessings that the Lord meets to the life of the believer. But that is not what the Lord is promising in these words here. There's another error that sometimes we come across. Well, not so much an error, but an accusation, an attack of those who scorn and despise this Christian message. So those who say, ah, there you are, you see, it's a crutch. It's for those who are weak and frail, who can't get through life, who need some sort of a crutch. Have you heard people say that? Perhaps people listening to this have said the same things themselves. It's for those who are weak and feeble and just can't manage getting through life. Well, again, of course, we know, don't we, the falsity of such things. And then there's a more serious error that sometimes comes as we speak of the words of our Lord. Sometimes our Saviour is presented as though he was merely standing by weakly, having come and presented a message to us, said, well, it's now just up to you. You need to come. And his words are presented in a weak and a helpless way, as though he can do nothing more than simply utter these words. And of course, we need to come to passages like this and see there's an authority here. There's a power here. There's a sovereignty at work here. And there's something majestic and glorious about the words of our Lord, precious words. The Lord speaks in gentleness and kindness, but there's a power and there's authority there. And we are not left, as it were, in our own devices to come with our own effort and strength, because he has done something far more wonderful than merely present us with a mere offer that we can take or leave at our choosing. That's not the message of sovereign grace in the Bible. And as we come to these verses this morning, I want us to approach them by realizing something of the context of what was being said here and the occasion in which these words were uttered. And we need to go back to verse 20 and see what it was that was taking place here. Notice how the Lord, he began to upbraid. He has a word, a solemn word of judgment, a solemn rebuke. He says, for these cities, he singles out places where he has done mighty works, and they haven't repented. Draws a great contrast between great godless places that we read of in the Old Testament, Tyre and Sidon and Sodom, and he says, they would have repented. But he said, here, he says, the Son of God himself has gone about performing the most amazing and powerful miracles that we can imagine. He's healed the sick. Not casual healings that people try and claim to these days with an ache and a pain removed, but the blind are given sight. The lame walk, the deaf hear. Sometimes he raises the dead. Think of the widow of Nain, and there she is, and there's a tearful procession, and her one and only child there, dead upon the bier, and he raises the child to life. There's the case of Lazarus, and there was another weeping household. And he goes, he says, Lazarus, come forth. Oh, glorious miracles the Lord did. Well, here in these cities, he says, he did most of his mighty works, he says there in that verse, and they repented not. See, here's where we must begin. That God, as the Apostle Paul, in his great sermon there at Athens, it proclaims, he says, God now commands all men, all, everywhere, to repent. There's that need for us to repent. And here were people who were faced with the sight of the Son of God. He was no ordinary man. He was not just some great prophet. He was somebody who proved and declared his deity, his sonship to the everlasting God, who performed these glorious miracles. And he says, and they repented not. Oh, there are those out there these days who say, well, if only somebody come from heaven, do a great sign. Somebody come back from the dead and do a great miracle that way, we believe. But they wouldn't. He was the Son of God in his ministry and his preaching and his healing, and they repented not. And what we're seeing there is the hardness of the human heart. We see our lost condition. And what happens next is quite remarkable, because notice what then the passage goes on to say in verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Lord, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Here, the sight of the hardness, the rebellion, the lost condition of men and women naturally, who even faced with the sight of the Son of God doing miracles, will not repent, will not acknowledge that they're sinners, will not acknowledge that here's a Holy One that stands before them. He thanks his Father for what? Because he has revealed these things unto babes. Oh, they're hid from the wise and prudent. Oh, those who are wise in their own eyes. Think they know what their lives are like before a holy God, think they can stand before God, think they can stand